I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni. Super excited to have you along with my guest today, Ari Gunsberg. And he is a keynote and inspirational speaker who helps people get clarity to move forward against resilience. And we're going to go through his journey, which I think a certain aspect of it will be really helpful for a lot of you. We're going to talk about what he speaks about and who he speaks to, but how he went about getting his first couple of speaking gigs and what that kind of entailed and, getting over some of the fear barriers and different things. So we'll delve into it. I'm not exactly sure where exactly we'll go, but I'm sure a lot of it will be beneficial for a lot of you out there who are having that first hurdle of maybe getting your foot in the door. So with all that being said, welcome to the show, Ari.
Thank you very much, Victor. I appreciate it. Love to be here.
It's awesome to have you on. Whereabouts are you in the world?
I'm in Ohio in the United States.
Awesome. So we're on, it's nighttime in the past for Ari and it's the future for me in the mid-afternoon.
I think we're on the same day. Actually, I'm after 1 a.m.
There you go. So it's 3 p.m. for me. Appreciate you jumping on. And I know you have just given a presentation tonight as well. So there's no stopping some people. Look,
a doubleheader, no less. But yeah,
it's give us a bit of a background, I guess, about how you came about, wanting to share a message and getting out there speaking, and kind of that journey that got you to wanting to pursue being on stage.
Okay, so that actually in the Q&A session tonight, somebody actually asked me that and it came up. Yeah. So basically, I have a friend who used to work in the juvenile delinquent center here in Cleveland. And so she was working with her boys and she's like, all right, the only careers that these boys know of existing are like teacher, police officer, and prison guard, or drug dealer. Yeah. She's like, so she reached out to a bunch of us and she said, was anybody able to come in and just tell them a little bit about their career? So they see there's so many options that this is just a small segment of what there is to do. My initial gut reaction was, no way, don't want to do that. So when I was younger, I got in some trouble sometimes. And the thought of going back behind locked doors and stuff, I mean, it was never no like, hard time or anything, no convictions or anything like that, but just, some altercations with the police where I would end up in jail and stuff. That was actually the subject of one of my speeches tonight. But anyways, my initial gut reaction was, no way. Don't want to go back in there. Don't want to like reopen that period of my life, even though it's coming from a completely different angle. It was like a knee jerk reaction, like, nope, not going in there. Mm. Go ahead.
I always find those knee jerk reactions is just like this wall that we've put up that it's like, this is probably a thing I should be doing because it's going to put me outside of my comfort zone to a degree. And it definitely is out from the sounds of things. It takes you back into darker times of places you don't necessarily want to think about. But I'll let you carry on.
Absolutely. And I mean, so Neil Donald Walsh, I think is the guy's name, he says, life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. And that's something I try to aspire to, to constantly just be pushing myself a little bit further. But after a little bit of time, a couple of days or so, I realized how wrong I really was. Here she is, she's reaching out to all these people. Most of them are going to get up there and they're going to say, yeah, this is what I do for a career, yada, yada, yada. And the kids who are going to be sitting there looking at them and be like, I can't relate to you. Mm. You and I just have nothing in common, so good. So you're a financial analyst. Like I'd have to go to college and like colleges, I don't even have high school, they would just be so far and away from it. So I felt like I actually had an obligation, a responsibility to go in and talk to these kids. And I reached back out to her. I said, okay, you know, I was thinking about it and really I should go do it. And she's like, oh, sorry, I'm all filled up. Yeah. Like, oh, finished with that one. Like a day later, she's like, okay, somebody canceled, so we have a spot open for you. And that was definitely going beyond my comfort zone because at the time I hadn't really had much public speaking experience. I had a little bit. And then I started getting incredibly nervous, like right before I walked in, and I was like, you know, I stayed up all night, like writing down what I could remember from my story, like the main points, so I could sit there and walk in and talk about it off of like my note cards. And I was like, who the hell said things that they, how do I know that they want to hear my story? Like, who am I that they're going to want to hear what I have to say? Mm-hmm. And I just like super nervous and super self-conscious, like what makes me think that I have anything to say to these people?
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, when I walked in, instead of starting off with my story, I started off by saying, look guys, you know, I've got my story and I've got my, my career talk that I was going to give you. And I can start with my story if you guys want, but only if you guys really want it. And almost every hand in the room went up. And then I was like, all right, so if they really want to hear it, they really want to hear it. So I, broke it all down to them and I kind of told them about some of the stuff that I had done, some of the stupid places that I had been in, some of the stupid things that I had done. And we all connected and we moved straight from that into this marketing exercise. And I talked to them for like an hour and a half or 2 hours or something. And just, I mean, the whole room was like almost like lighting up with like, you know, they were just getting excited about what we were talking about. Because I first told them a little bit about what marketing is all about. That's what I was doing at the time. And then I, you know, did like an off the cuff exercise with them where we, you know, we picked a product category and then we designed a product just verbally, you know, and it was... It was laundry detergent, and they came up with the name Fresh for it because it makes all the clothes fresh. And then one kid was like sitting there, and he's like totally just joking around, kind of like disengaged, like sitting back in his chair. And we were like trying to figure out a slogan, and he's like, if it ain't fresh, it ain't the best. And he was just joking around. I was like, no, that's good. That's it right there. That's it. But they like picked colors, and you know, it was like it was pretty cool. And so after I got home, I'm a graphic artist also, so I grabbed some stock image and I tweaked it a little bit and I threw on some of the words and names and everything else and I sent it over to them. They were just totally floored. Mm. You know, at around the same time I was trying to figure out what to do with my life, like, because I was unhappy in my current career. And I was also listening to a lot of motivational speakers. And so my business coach that I was talking to at the time, like, kind of popped that idea out. And I was like, yeah, I think that might work.
Nice.
And that's been the journey ever since.
It's been, I mean, there's a lot of things to dive into there. Because, I mean, from a learning perspective for other speakers is, I mean, the first thing that jumps out to me is a saying that I use a lot. I don't know who I stole it off, but it was someone, but I'll start crediting myself after a while. But it was... It was facts tell, story sell. Like, you can give people fact and percentage and statistic and, you know, here's a fact. I work as this. Here's what I do. Here's what I had to do. I went to university. I went to this. I went to that. But if you want to get people truly engaged and sell your message, it doesn't mean you have to sell your product or your services or whatever. You know, storytelling is the biggest thing to be able to do it, because what it does and what it did really effectively for you was break down that barrier between you and the audience. You know, if you're a multimillionaire up on stage selling, you know, a product or a service that's going to help people become financially, you know, more independent or make the money or whatever it may be, yeah, a lot of people won't be able to necessarily relate with you. And that's where a lot of people will give their background story, because it says, oh, I was just like you. I was probably worse than you. You know, I had, you know, 10 credit cards that were all maxed out. I was getting kicked out of my apartment and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's similar to kind of Tony Robbins' backstory, if you've heard that. And then it allows people to go, well, if he could do it, I could do it. And I think that's what's really cool is, you know, you walk in there and it's like, look, man, I've been where you guys have been. I've seen a lot of the stuff that you guys have seen. I had two paths to go down. I could have been going down this road where it was going to be crime after crime, or it could have been, you know, this other thing where I get to do, you know, I can either market with legal products or market on the street corner selling drugs. Yeah, it's one or the other, and one of them the police aren't going to crack down on
quite as hard. So, I mean, I think for everyone out there, yeah, a lot of people have that, what you said earlier, that imposter syndrome, like what the hell have I got that I'm gonna, that's going to give value to these people? Who am I to be talking to them? And yeah, it's, if you've been there, it, you, you know, to be, you know, Russell Brunson, a marketing expert that I follow, he says you have, it's the kind of the catch me if you can movie with Leonardo DiCaprio as well, how when he was tutoring law, he was just saying one step ahead, one class ahead, and then he's going back and teaching it the next day. Yeah, it's the same sort of thing. You don't necessarily have to fake it till you make it, but you don't have to be 10 steps ahead of these people. You can be one and say, look, I went to college instead of went and joined a gang. And then people were like, oh, well, cool. Like, that's an option. Yep. Or I went and got my high school diploma and, you know, I did that instead. And so I think, yeah, without trying to steal any thunder or anything like that, I think there's a lot of really good learning points for aspiring speakers of push outside your comfort zone. Realize, yep, you don't have to be the world's utmost expert in something to be able to bring value to people's lives and the power of storytelling.
Absolutely. The power of storytelling is infinitesimal. I mean, two nuances. So first of all, you had brought up imposter syndrome and it came up tonight. Les Brown, one of the world's foremost motivational speakers, he brings down an old African proverb a lot of times. If there's no enemy within, the enemy without can do us no harm. Hmm. And so if you can work on your own self-talk and work on having that confidence or working on feeling good on the inside, no matter what people are saying on the outside, ultimately they're not going to affect you because you know deep within that you have the power to do whatever you want to do. You know, and I mean, it also applies, I'm sure, to actual violence.
Yeah,
exactly. But you know, but I mean, in this day and age, we just have to apply it to moods and to words and to stuff like that. But I mean, it applies to both. That's one thing. And the other thing is you're talking about storytelling. I do want to say, like, I've tried my hand at sales like a bunch of times, and I'm to some degree like a technical person, you know, facts, figures, numbers, etc. I'm really not that great at sales. I'm just not. So what I would say that I found, and now only now that you're bringing it up, I'm starting to think back. I think that the times that I was good at sales was when I wasn't paying attention to the facts, figures, and numbers, and when I was paying attention to the story.
Yep.
You know, when I would either tell them a story about what the sale would do for them or tell them a story about where I'm coming from. And either way, that story just goes ahead and helps us connect. And then that's what's able to allow these things to happen. It's not when you sit there and say, well, this is going to increase your productivity by 25%. They're like, not listening because everybody says that.
Yeah. And that's where I think a lot of people go wrong with sales is they try and sell the feature, not the benefit.
Yep.
Like, if that makes sense. It's like, yeah, I've got this car and it drives and it does, you know, it goes 0 to 100 kilometers or whatever. It's like, that's not a feature of that. It doesn't need lots of, you know, that it goes 400 kilometers on a tank of gas or a charge if it's electric or whatever. It's the, this will save you $10,000 a year in petrol, or this will, you know, this will make driving more comfortable, or you can drive without, yeah, you can do your work while it self drives for you, or those sorts of things. People can, you know, they'll buy into the benefits that it gives them rather than trying to sell them on feature after feature. And you know, you look at Steve Jobs when he didn't say, you know, here's a portable MP3 player. He said it's 500 songs in your pocket.
Right.
And people are like, man, how good's that? Instead of carrying around CDs and yeah, everyone else was selling MP3 players, he was selling 500 songs that you could take around with you. And yep. That's, yeah, I think that's a powerful lesson, because it doesn't matter if you're up on stage selling an actual product or you're trying to sell a message. All of them, you know, kind of require that. That's partly that storytelling aspect, and then just, you know, the WIIFM, the what's in it for me. Situation. The audience, yep, don't care about so much about you. It's about what's in it for them. And yeah, it's so it's really interesting. I want to dive into, I know you're saying you spoke at a sort of home, a conference somewhere.
I just spoke at a conference a few 2 weeks ago or so.
Yeah, cool. Run us through what did it? How did you kind of find the conference, or did they find you? And how did you? What are the logistics like? To get to it and things like that for those who haven't gone through that process.
Sure. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. At a certain point in time recently, the past year or so, I noticed that my website and my videos were not as good as they could have been. And so I spent a lot of time, effort, and money investing in improving all of those. Some of the stuff I did myself, some of the stuff I had other people do, but I upped my game a little bit, and is it as good as it could possibly be? Maybe not. There's always room for improvement, but it's much better now than it was. So I started off with doing all that. Once I got that to the point where I felt like it was adequately representing who I am and what I'm all about, then I started looking into a little bit more, and I started doing searches for like motivational speaker and whatever. And I'm starting to find all these websites, and I'm like, okay, I want to be out there in front of people. I can't just be on my own website. I have to be on any website that somebody's essentially going to be coming across looking for this type of stuff. I need to be on there also. So I started slowly but surely buying memberships to different websites. I'm not on all of them yet, but I'm adding them on as I move along. And it's getting me more exposure. It's getting me more opportunities to be seen by people. And so this particular conference came in from one of the,
Just to interject, give us some examples. You said you're getting memberships to different sites. Like what are those kind of sites?
Gigmasters, Gig Salad, stuff like that. You know, where people are going, they're going to look for a lot of different things, a caterer, for a magician, a clown, whatever. They're going for lots of different things. But one of the categories that they offer is motivational speaking.
Cool.
So when I was seeing that these websites are consistently showing up as the top result or the top 10 results for a lot of different cities, I said, hey, look, I got to put myself on there, because if I'm not in front of people when they're looking for me, I'm not going to be noted. I can't sit there and say, well, hey, I failed doing this if I'm not getting enough gigs, if I'm not putting myself in every single possible place that I should be.
Yeah.
If I'm in every single possible place that I should be, and I've got a good website up, and I've got good videos up, and I'm selling myself in the best possible way, and I'm not making it, all right, then maybe I did everything I possibly could, and I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
But if I can, like, I got to do every single thing that I possibly can to get myself out there, and that includes putting myself on all these websites. That includes making sure that my videos are up to par. And I've got some 400 gigs that I'm sending a video that I'm sending to my video guy to sit there and start making new videos from. I don't want to say I've been lax in uploading, but the one of my videographers took a while to send me a bunch of stuff. So I have a boatload of stuff that I have to upload. And the easiest way to do it, I might just mail him a hard drive, because I owe him a hard drive anyways, because I'm taking up so much room on his hard drive. That's one of the problems with shooting in 4K. What are you going to do,
Yeah.
I'm just constantly trying to work on my video, because a friend of mine who does video, he says, showing is the most telling. The more that I can just put up videos where people are like, oh, I wonder if I should hire this guy, Ari Gunsberg, and they check out a video, and they check out another video, and they check out another video, and they're like, hey, I like this guy. That helps me, as opposed to, the other guy down the street who may or may not be a better speaker but doesn't present himself as well.
Yeah.
I'll get hired every time.
And I think that's the key thing is, if you're comparing two people, and it's a flip of a coin, if you can watch another video on that person, or better yet, I tell a lot of people, lift up the phone and ask a couple of people who you're talking to after a speaking gig, after they've gone, oh, I really love that, blah, 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 hey, do you mind just saying that again into the camera? Look, if it's crap, I won't use it. Don't worry, you won't look bad all over the internet. I won't use it. I'll just ask you a couple of questions, and then I'll edit out my questions. And if you just say everything as honestly as you just did, or you say exactly the same thing to the event organizer, and you start slowly building up this testimonial package, because event organizers out there have got a huge risk on their shoulders Whether it be 100%. somebody who's hosting, you know, a large event that's got multiple speakers, or an internal workplace event where, you know, it's part of their annual conference or their national conference or whatever, if they drop the ball by picking you, then it reflects on them. And absolutely. So they want to see some footage. They want to see some testimonials from some other people live at events. You know, it doesn't have to be awesome audio or anything. It's just people saying how much value they got from you. So it's mitigating some of their risk when they're flipping a coin between a couple of different speakers. So again, I think that's a super valuable side of things. So take us
100%. So back when I used to work in websites, sorry, I'm just jumping into a question. When I used to work in websites, I used to get upset sometimes because I would see people sometimes hire companies that were for sure more expensive than I was and wouldn't do as nice work as I do. And it bothered me. But there's this old saying, I think it's in sales or maybe it's in something else, and I don't know who said it originally, but basically nobody ever got fired for hiring IBM. Hmm. You know, so like here it is, they have this one guy who's a freelancer who their boss is like, I just don't know. And this other like established company who's got 10 people working for them, and they're like, okay, probably going to do better work, probably going to do worse work, more expensive, less expensive. We're still going to go with people who probably won't do as nice of a work and who are more expensive because they're the safe choice. Mm. Everybody always wants the safe choice. So that's a very good point that you brought that up, because this is what I'm constantly trying to do, is I'm constantly trying to evaluate my materials from an outside perspective and say, am I helping to present myself as the safe choice? Because I know that I can speak. I need to make sure that the people that want to hire me will know that as well.
And I mean, I've got an interesting point on the kind of the value proposition of, you know, someone going and hiring someone more expensive. I've got a friend who consults and speaks to Fortune 500 companies around the world. And if he quotes anything that works out to be less than $5,000 an hour, so if he does a half day presentation, if he puts anything less than $20,000 down on, you know, their initial thing, they wouldn't look at, he said they won't look at him because they say, oh, you're obviously not good enough to be working at our company. And he's like, sweet. Like, yeah, the only reason he found out was, I think he quoted like $500 an hour for when he was first kind of reaching his way in there. And it was only because he knew someone within the company. They're like, $500 an hour, you're about 90% off what you need to be.
Yep.
Be doing. So it's an interesting thing, because again, you think you're getting for the $5,000 an hour a Ferrari. Yeah. And it still might be the same Kia, or it still might be the same. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, there was another story online talking about pricing. There was another story online that I saw, that I read one time, about a photographer. She wanted to work less. So she looked at her rates and she's like, okay, I'm charging $3,000 right now and I'm working so much. Or $3,000 for an event. I'm going to bump my price up to 15 grand and I should get a lot less events. And strangely, she got more because people saw that price tag and said, oh, she must be actually worth 15 grand. We need to have her. Mm. Yeah. And so it's absolutely, you know, I mean, pricing is a funny, funny thing.
And so how did this event find you, this one that you did a couple of weeks
ago? Oh, they found me on one of those websites.
Yeah, cool.
They had somebody that they were planning on using, I think, and maybe they initiated the hiring process with somebody right before me or something. I'm not sure, but essentially the person just started getting a little bit too sketchy for them about money and, you know, how it was going to work and everything. I don't have all the details because they didn't share them all with me. Yeah. But they reached out to me and, you know, it was back and forth and back and forth, and it was always like, yeah, we really want you, but we have to approve it with the committee. So just hold on. Sorry. Just hold on. The committee's still going to meet. Hold on. And, you know, after a little while, they said, yeah, you're in, you know, just, can you take care of this? Can you take care of that? You know, here's the hoops that we need you to jump through. Nothing crazy, but here's the hoops that we need you to jump through in order to go ahead and bring you on board. And, you know, I know you have like a lot of listeners out there who are, I think at the varying stages of building a speaking business, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to go ahead and give another message of hope to everybody. You know, so there are times when you're working on, I guess you could say a sale, but like whatever, working on getting a gig, and it doesn't seem to be working, and so you maybe give up. But just remember that, like, you really never know where somebody else is at. Yeah. And the example that I'm going to give you is that I have this associate who I said, let's do like a little something at your office. You know, I've got these online profiles I'm working on building up because they just started them a few months ago. And I'm trying to just get more stuff in there with the reviews and real stuff, meaning, you know, you'll hire me, you'll pay me, I'll come in, I'll do stuff. And then I'll just log it on these websites so that it ends up helping me if you end up deciding to write me a good review.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying you have to, nothing like that. No. So I was bugging him for like a while and I would like email him and he'd email me back once and I'd email him like three times. And then I wouldn't hear from him and I'd email him like another time. And then he, whatever, you know, so it was like a very, very like sketchy thing. And I kind of got the feeling over the long period of time, he just wasn't interested, but he didn't want to tell me that. So I was like, all right. And I just left it alone. And then today I happened to be near his office and I was like sitting there talking to a secretary for like a half a second, not about this, about something completely different. But she's like, oh, by the way, he wanted me to schedule with you for that thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. <You know? laughs> Like apparently I had done everything right. I had sold him on it and he just had never had the opportunity to get back to me and say, hey, by the way, we're good. Just schedule.
Yeah, it's just
when my name popped back up into his head and he saw that I was coming into the office or whatever, he's like, "Yeah, make sure you schedule with him, please."
Yeah,
and boom.
And that's the good thing is it's like life gets in the way. Like if you're a speaker or a trainer, it's on your mind 100% of the day. Like I need to get booked somewhere, or I need to make sure that my previous clients are all good and whatever. For a company. I might be an HR person or what, they've got 50 different plates spinning like we all do, but
absolutely
the one about that speaker who emailed that they forgot to get back to because, you know, five people quit in one day is a, it's a different thing. So, I mean, the power is in the follow-up.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I think that gives, I want to thank you and welcome you to our Speaker Nation group. So I think it's, what you've given today will give a lot of people a lot of hope, but I think there's some awesome learnings and your journey so far and moving forward into how to start positioning yourself as the speaker that you started a while ago, and then how these different things develop, and then some life learnings, because I mean that's what this podcast is all about, is giving people that behind the scenes look of what has worked for other people, because you can often go scouring all over the web and you're not going to get you're going to get the person who's like, oh yeah, I speak and I do this, but you don't get the skin and bones behind it. So I really appreciate you for sharing that and want to thank you and welcome you to our Speaker Nation family.
I appreciate you having me on the show, I hope I can be of help. If you ever would want to do this again, like check back in 6 months, a year, something like that, by all means feel free to reach out.
Absolutely. We'll lock it in for a year's time. If people want to get in touch with you, where should they go? What should they do?
Number one place, ariguns.com. That's ariguns.com. That's my website. It has a bunch of information about me, links to my blog, and links to my social media profiles.
Wicked. Well, we'll link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com. It's been an absolute pleasure, mate, and I will let you get some well-needed sleep.
Wonderful. Thank you.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.